Jeff Carter.
Hello, and thank you for choosing the Jeff Carter podcast. We've put together some of the best over the last month, including the time when Kev the Boy Racer came in and told us about his holiday in Spain. And as you know, the thing for Kev the Boy Racer is he's always trying to impress his girlfriend Shaz and her parents. Always seems to go wrong. I've got a feeling that he'll be doing that on this podcast. He's a legend in his own imagination. He's with us very soon. We're also looking at strange labeling on products. Most products have got a warning label, but these are warning labels which state the ridiculous. They'll definitely put a smile on your face. We'll also have two fantastic interviews. In one, we're talking to John Sackett from Swans Therapy, and we're talking about something which is on the increase, stress and anxiety. First of all, what is the difference between the two? We'll find out with John, and we'll find out a solution to moving on so that you can live a more productive life, because many people are held back by stress and anxiety. We're talking to two fantastic co-authors. They are Drew and Carrie, and they've got their first book out. It's called The Clockmaker, and it's a supernatural thriller. We're going to find out more about that book. You can also get it now at the moment for digital download for less than £5, and just search on Amazon for The Clockmaker. We'll find out more about the book and the characters in it. So let's take a look at some of the things that have been going on our show. Oh, and later on, Albert, a guy who pushes a wheelbarrow through the streets for no reason whatsoever. He's joining us later in the podcast. I thought during the show today we look at some of the weirdest and the strangest warnings ever. Now, these are warnings that you find on products, and obviously they're there for your safety. So this one was written on the side of a chainsaw. It said, when handling the chainsaw, make sure that you handle the correct end. Who in their right mind is going to pick up the other end that's not the handle, that's got those blades that are going round rather fast? Nobody in their right mind is going to do that. What about this one? This is a warning on Apple's website. It says, do not eat the iPod Shuffle. So obviously what I'm thinking of is here, has somebody actually done these things? So is that actually somebody tried to eat an iPod? Why would you do that? This one makes my eyes water. This warning was on the side of a carpenter's electric drill. It said, this product is not intended to be used as a dental drill. seriously, you wouldn't get a drill, would you? That's in your DIY box, and then think, I need to do some fillings in my mouth.
Jeff Carter on the radio.
Yeah, as a gammy old dude, my name's Kev. I love to riff. I love to go to the multi-story car park, driving around and
around. You okay there, Kev?
What do you think about that little dude? Oh, yeah.
You're okay there, Kev? You got a bit of a cold coming on. It's pointless, I've told you before.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Yes.
Just the other day, I went on a lovely holiday with Shares. Oh. We went over to Terra Molinos. Yeah, terrible Molinos we
terrible
went to.
Molinos.
I said to Shares, yeah. I said, it's time we did some international travel.
He
was about to book the holiday.
Yes.
And I thought this would be great, me and Shares going away together.
Oh, yes.
And unfortunately, then her parents said, oh, we'll come with you. And I thought, well, that means we'll be in separate rooms there.
Yes,
I thought for Shares' sake, I agree to it.
Yes.
They said they will. We'll be happy to come along with you. Just tell you what, they like spoiling my fun all the time. What do you think about me, old dude?
Spoiling your fun. Well, I don't think they look upon it in that way, Kev.
Anyway,
I think they may.
We got over to Terra Molinos.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, I thought once we was in terrible Molinos,
yes,
I thought things is going to change it. So Shaz and I was in different rooms.
Yes.
And she was on one side of the hotel and I was on the other. And
yes,
her parents, well, their room was near to hers. I think it's so as they could keep an eye on me.
Oh.
Anyway, we had our dinner and we went up to the hotel. It's lovely and warm and warm and sunny during the day. And I went up to the room. I thought I'd just wait for about an hour.
Yes.
And then I'll sneak along the corridor in the dark.
Right.
So I was sneaking along the corridor from my side of the hotel, making sure none of the floorboards went creaking and creaking and cracking and making a noise.
Cracking and creaking.
It was a bit dark down there.
Yes.
Because I tell you what, over there they don't use they don't get used to using a lot of electricity because they're a bit mean, so it's a bit dark. Anyway, I was nearly at Shaz's room and I thought, oh, this is great. Yeah, I'm nearly there now. When suddenly I heard just behind me a door opening.
Oh.
Yeah, it was Shaz's daddy come out. He said, Kiv, what are you doing down here? You're a bit of a long way from your room. I said, I couldn't sleep. I like to just walk around when I can't sleep. I've been so excited. He said, well, I can't either. Let's go on downstairs and we'll have a cup of tea and a bit of a chat. And he was down there for 3 hours. He was talking about darts. It's so boring. I don't like darts at all. Just throwing them things in the old dartboard. 3 hours going on about 180 and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And how good a darts player he used to be back in his day. And he was with a team. And they used to go off and have a couple of beers.
Yes.
I was nearly falling asleep then. Anyway, by the time I got back to my room, I was ready to go to sleep. I thought there'd be no more sneaking around. I don't want to hear about darts and trampolining and all those other things he does and going off with a rambling club. I'm not into the rambling club.
I'm glad that you're not, Kev. It's
and
not
the other thing about the hotel, when we went down for the breakfast and then all that kind of thing, and for where the breakfast was all right, I suppose.
Yes.
But I tell you what, in the evening, I got down there and it was all that bloomin' Spanish food.
I said,
where's fish and chips? I want some fish and chips. I want a bit of haddock in batter.
Haddock in batter.
Yeah, the old waiter. He looked at me. He looked at me in a strange way. He said, we don't have none of that. Comprehende. Okay, sir, comprehende.
I don't think he said
we've only got Spanish food here, the paella. I don't want all that kind of stuff. It's all right for a hamster. I said, right. Look, my old chum, I'm a proper human being. I'm not a hamster. I don't want any of that kind of stuff.
No,
I've got some proper food, like fish and chips.
Fish and chips, yeah.
And custard pie. Yes.
Well, they have other stuff. They don't want custard pie, Kev. I mean, not very...
He said, well, I'm sorry, sir. We haven't got none of that.
No?
I'll tell you what, the old holiday was just terrible. I don't know what I bothered to go for.
I see.
No sneaking around at night.
No, having to
eat all that funny food and croissants in the morning. What are those things, for goodness sake?
Croissants. You don't like them, then, I take it, Kev. Not a croissant lover by the sound.
Anyway, I've got to head off now.
Yes.
But I'll be seeing you soon.
Yes.
I've got to go over and see Shares and make up for some of the stuff on the holiday, especially talking about darts with 3 hours. Anyway, I've got to go now.
We'll see you later then.
Hello.
Hello.
Goodbye.
Watch out. Today I'm talking to two co-authors who have a fantastic book out. It's a gothic thriller. It's called The Clockmaker. I'm talking to Drew Neary and Kerry Williams. And we're going to find out about the book itself. But before we do that, Kerry, what's it like when you work together?
It's actually wonderful. I think we have mutual respect for each other's words and ideas, and I think we both bring something completely different to the co-writing process. When we edit, together, and we're also very honest about what works and what doesn't work. So, yes, it works like clockwork. Did you see what I did there?
Yes. Yeah. We've been lucky, and it's a lot easier than we thought it would, and we just like I say, it's clockwork. It just seems to work.
And that brings us neatly onto the title of the book, which is called The Clockmaker. So where did the idea for the novel come from?
Writing part of Optics, I was writing part of Optics based in World War II section of it. And I was standing in the garden, my children were buzzing around me, and I was looking at the tree, deciding how I was going to prune it. And suddenly the clockmaker, poof, just appeared in my head. A couple of seconds later, his constructs appeared in my head. And then a couple of years later, we wrote the book, and I still haven't pruned the tree.
Well, at least you've got a book, and maybe the pruning of the tree will happen at some point in the future. So The Clockmaker, set it out for us. Tell us a little bit about it without spoiling it for us.
Well, if I read from the blurb, widowed in World War II, Annette and her young son face a completely different life as they exchange the devastation of post-Blitz London for the slow place of a small village. The unfolding of how the clockmaker makes his plans, his meticulous preparation and his macabre creations, and those are the constructs of the non-pruned tree, all builds up to a series of gruesome, horrific murders. And these have just one end in view, his release from that which has held him captive for centuries.
I like it. That sounds intriguing. And tell us about the main characters in The Clockmaker.
We'll deal with The Clockmaker first. So he's an ancient individual. He was captured by Adolf Hitler one day. He has a backstory which is in other further publications. But he was captured by Adolf Hitler because he has a unique ability that he can basically build anything, create anything. And during the war, Adolf Hitler and his companions thought that would be quite handy to, you know, invent some of the new things that they wanted to do. Adolf Hitler also has his interest in the occult, and the Clockmaker has his a few certain special abilities which you'll have to read the book to find out. And yeah, that's him.
So he is the supernatural character, as is the Dybbuk. And in order to balance that out and make it more believable, I developed with Andy the characters of Annette and Duncan, and they are very parochial, very normal, you know, end of 1940s people. And so we needed that to balance out the whole supernatural genre aspect of it, and it really worked.
The boy Duncan on the train with Annette when they run into the Clockmaker, he has a little, he's not bored, he has a little special something about him, and the Clockmaker notices.
You've already whetted my appetite. It sounds like it's going to be a great read. So where can we get our hands on The Clockmaker?
It's on Amazon in both paper form and Kindle. It's in America. It's in New Zealand. It's in libraries. Over here, it's in certain Waterstones stores, some independent bookstores.
Thank you, Carrie and Andrew. It's been fascinating talking to you, and we're looking forward to your book, which is called The Clockmaker. You can also find out more and follow Carrie and Andrew on Twitter. It is twitter.com/Stepford115, and the 115 are the numerals, not the spelling of the numbers. So once again, on Twitter, it is twitter.com/Stepford115, and also on Facebook, it is facebook.com/DrewKerry. And Kerry in this case is spelt C-E-R-I. That's C-E-R-I. So that's facebook.com/DrewKerry. And you can find out more. And we wish them all the best with The Clockmaker. So this guy, he was selling a jar. Now, you may say to yourself, what is so unusual about selling a jar? Well, nothing, but it was what was in it. This man claimed that there was actually a ghost inside of it. He said, if the black thing, which is inside the jar, escapes before you get it, I can't be held responsible. Anyway, he sold this jar with a ghost in it, or what he liked to call a black entity, for $55,000. Who pays $55,000 for a jar which allegedly has a ghost in it? Other strange things sold on eBay. Somebody sold for more than $1,000 a Dorito. It apparently was in the shape of Popeye's hat. Really?
Jeff Carter on the radio.
Strange labelling on products. This one was found on a baby stroller. It said, remove child before folding. who would not do that, for goodness sake? Who would leave the child still in it when they needed to fold it up to get it onto a bus or something like that? We'll have a few more of those a little bit later on for you. Strange warnings stating the obvious. What about this one? This is a fantastic one, and I'm kind of would like to see this kind of happening. So this was on a bottle of dog medication. It says, beware, this may cause drowsiness and should not be taken when operating a car. I don't know about you, but I mean, dogs are clever, but I've never actually seen one operating a car before. If you know any different, then do let me know. Because what makes me wonder is most of these things have obviously been put on there by lawyers because somebody's done it. So maybe a dog has actually operated a car. Today, I'm talking to John Sackett, who's the co-founder of Swans Therapy. And we're going to be talking about something which, according to the stats, is more prevalent than ever before. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about stress. There seem to be more demands made upon us than ever before. So let's find out what the symptoms are and let's find out what the answer is. Let's catch up with John right now.
This is a featured UK Talk Radio top business.
So today, as far as the stats are concerned, we're suffering anxiety and stress more than ever. There are more pressures on us, emails pinging 24 hours a day on our phone, the need to respond to things, wanting relationships to work. There seems to be more pressure than ever. So, John, there is a difference between anxiety and stress. So tell us, what's the difference between the two of those?
The difference really is anxiety is fear-based. It's really feeling threatened.
Yes,
and it can be either real or imagined. Often panic attacks come from anxiety because it's the anticipation of something happening, usually something bad, which is why the anxiety comes along in the first place. It can be psychological or emotional, various aspects of that, but it's really just the fear of something rather than the actual something actually happening and to cause problems, where stress is actually the feeling. Stress is more the feeling of being out of control. Usually, when something does happen, and that's stress is the one that can be medically diagnosed by the doctor and prescribed medication or whatever for that. But obviously, the best way around that is to avoid it in the first place if you can. But it's not always easy in today's society.
It's interesting. Our lives seem to get more demanding in the workplace. So in actual fact, we seem to have less leisure time, more demands upon us. So you mentioned stress there. Let's talk some more, a little bit more about stress. So what are the main causes of stress?
It's really anything that makes us feel either frustrated or angry or feeling out of control, as I said earlier. And that can come from work situations. I think work situations are probably one of the most common causes at the moment. Everybody seems to be under so much pressure for getting things done in the time, working extra hours, the demands for earning money, which is obviously relates then to finances. Finances are another big cause of stress. Family finances, or can we afford to do this? Where's all the money gone? That sort of thing. And that can be relationship problems as well, which both the work and the finances can cause. Or there may be other reasons for the relationship problems, but they can obviously cause stress if you're not happy in your relationship. It's always a stressful situation. And also, one of the things that causes stress is change, and that can be any changes in your life at all. It can even be good changes that you're really hoping for or really wanting, because positive changes still mean a leap into the unknown, if you like, and we're always get stressed if we've got to do something we're not sure of. So even good changes in your life can actually be stressful.
Because I suppose a lot of our life is about routine, isn't it? We get used to something, and as you mentioned, even if a good change comes along, it's still, well, this is the unknown. I've got to learn about this. If it's, say, a new job or a new relationship, there's pressure, you want it to work.
That's right.
Suddenly, yeah. The routine's gone.
Mm, yeah, indeed, yeah. But it's the stress does come with, obviously, physical symptoms too, as the stress builds up. You get high blood pressure. It's one of the main early symptoms, and that can obviously lead to coronary disease, heart attacks. Headaches and migraine are often associated with stress as well. Digestive problems, which a lot of people don't realise are caused by stress. You can get IBS, ulcers, they're caused by the stress as well. And it actually causes physical changes in your body, which cause all of these issues. And sleep problems are another big issue as well with stress and anxiety. And people just not sleeping properly, not getting the right amount of sleep and the right quality of sleep, which just increases the stress then.
This is massive. I mean, this is changing our lives. Mentally, it's changing us. Also having a physical effect, so bad headaches. Mm. So how does counselling help?
Counselling helps basically by giving people an understanding of the biology of stress, if you like, really realistic view sometimes of the situation that they're in, they're often seeing an exaggerated picture, and again the anxiety of the anticipation of what might happen. They're looking at a very negative outcome for things when they are stressed. And if you can put that into some sort of perspective and give them maybe a slightly different picture, that there is a way out of this. There is hope. We can change this. As I said earlier, change can be stressful in itself, but if it's a positive change, they're much more likely to feel a lot better about that. And if you're working towards a goal as well, even if it's in small stages, they can see small changes happening, and that's slowly relieving the stress, and that can almost have a snowball effect. Once you start to relieve the stress, you can get better and better quite quickly.
What we're getting here is a nice positive kind of moving forward, seeing that actually this stress that I'm in, this mire that I'm in, actually there is a way out. And so attitudes are starting to change, the mind's starting to lift.
Part of the problem is today, I don't want to criticise GPs because they do an amazing job and they're very hard worked. The problem with stress-related issues is that they don't have the time to sit with the client and hear their life story and hear what's going on at the moment. They're limited to prescribing medication, which deals with the symptoms, but it doesn't actually deal with the cause of the stress in the first place. And I'm not criticising GPs at all. They can't do anything about that because of the way they work.
And you can help because you can give more time. And as you mentioned, that's just, you know, the GP has to see a lot of people. Mm. They're under, we're back to this word again, they're under a lot of pressure, under a lot
yes.
of stress.
Yeah.
But you do workshops and training where obviously more time can be spent on it. So tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, my wife and I work together and we both do counselling and other therapies. And we've worked out a little while ago now, we came up with a workshop because we were finding that most of our clients were coming to us with various problems, but it was usually stress and anxiety were in the background of a lot of those problems. So we thought, well, what's if we actually talk to people first and show them ways how to reduce that and get out of that, it should be something that's really useful for them. So we have run a few workshops already with various people, with some people from different companies that we've worked with, and it's always had a very good feedback at the end of it. They've always found it very useful, and we've had comments afterwards, and people that we bumped into later on, and they've all said, oh, I came across this the other day, and because of what you taught me, I was able to get over it. But the workshop is really, we've tried to make it quite a bit of fun. It's not all just sitting there listening to somebody rabbit on about negative things. We try to make it interactive. What we do first of all normally in the workshop is ask them how they would describe stress, and we usually get quite a lot of different answers and various answers, and that really opens up a whole conversation. But we teach things like how to engage in a conversation. A bit of assertiveness is always good, because a lot of people, if they're stressed, they do quite often get angry, and if they're angry, then they're probably not having the right conversations, they're not saying things in the right way. Whereas if you can talk assertively rather than from an anger perspective, you get a much better reaction from people, and you can have a really constructive conversation then, and hopefully that's going to help the situation and help to get you out of the stress. There's quite a few other things that we do in there. There's people tend to take different roles as well, and this comes up quite a lot with stress again. And there's a counselling method which is based on a triangle, people being either a persecutor, a rescuer, or a victim. And during a conversation, that person can move around to different points in that triangle. And if you explain that to people in the right way, then they can understand and they can see, oh yeah, I was talking from that point of view when I should have been talking from this point of view. I should have moved on to that point of the triangle instead of this one. And we do quite a good little exercise with that as well to help people to understand that. And that's the other day is basically doing a few exercises, talking to people and giving them a lot of information. And we're actually hoping to put that out to some of the local companies as well, because it's stress in the workplace is quite prevalent at the moment. And if they've got people off with stress, then they've got to get other staff in to cover, or expect everyone else to cope, which is probably going to make them even more stressed. So I think a day's workshop for some of the people that in that in whichever industry it is, then it's going to help quite a lot, and hopefully reduce people having time off and make them happier at work.
a great way as far as a company is concerned to basically look after employees, and in the long run, of course, it helps productivity as well, so everybody gains from that. You look after the health of the workers. So some great tips there, some great ideas on the workshop. We've been talking about stress, we've been talking about anxiety. So to round off, can you give us some tips how we can kind of deal with these situations?
Yes, there's a few very simple things that you can do to just relieve the pressure. One of the most interesting ones we found, and we actually teach pretty much all of our clients this when they first come to see us, is called 3-5 breathing. And it's very simple. All you need to do is take a deep breath in for a count of 3 and then a longer breath out for a count of 5. Making the out breath longer automatically releases a chemical in your brain which helps you to relax. So in a stressful situation, if you just do that maybe 3 or 4 times, if there's a lot of stress, maybe up to 10 times, and nobody even knows you're doing it, but you will automatically just feel calmer and more relaxed. And it's amazing, but it really does work. It sounds too simple, but very effective. Some other ways are, you do need to get enough sleep. Sleep is really important. You do need to get enough sleep and a good quality of sleep. And again, there are different ways to achieve that, with counselling or with hypnotherapy, if you like. There's some really good stuff on sleep. Nature is amazing as well for stress. If you get out in nature, just go for a walk. If there's trees around, that's great. It's just breathing in the clean oxygen will actually really invigorate you, really put you in a much better perspective, a much better position to get your thoughts in order and be able to work out problems for yourself. Another very interesting one is telling people how good they are, giving praise to other people. You'll be surprised how good you feel if you actually just say to someone, oh, you did a really good job today, thank you so much for that. It actually makes you feel better and it makes that person feel better, so that's a double whammy on that one. And that's really good for it. Just makes you, it gives you a boost as well as them.
And I think that's often something we don't do in life, isn't it? People are quite quick to find the fault in something, but not so often, well done there. That's great.
Yeah.
Now, we've been talking about the workshops, so the workshops are available. We've also been talking about the difference between stress and anxiety. Could you give us your website details so that we can find out more about the workshops and also follow up?
Yes, of course, yeah. The website is www.swanstherapy.co.uk. That's just as it sounds, Swans Therapy. And if you need to email me, my email is john@swanstherapy.co.uk.
John, thank you. You've defined the problems there, so we know what to look out for. We know the difference between anxiety and stress. We've learned a little bit more about panic attacks. So you've defined the problems. And of course, coming to see you at Swans Therapy, we can live in the solution. You're opening a door to a new and more happy and fulfilling life. John, thank you.
Jeff Carter.
He's with us right now. He's a man who pushes his wheelbarrow through the streets, although there's nothing in it. He'll tell you that it was different back in the day. It's Albert, off the allotment.
I remember son, back in the old days. It's me, Albert, off of the allotment. I've been pushing me wheelbarrow through the streets today. I've been pushing me wheelbarrow, son.
I see. You don't sound very cheerful about that.
I was
that.
A bit worried the other day about my eyes.
Oh.
I was driving along in my car, I was.
Yes.
And I was there with one of my pals. And he said, I think you're going the wrong way. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we're driving through a field. I said, don't be ridiculous. He said, we are, and we're going to get stuck in the mud if you don't turn the car around. I couldn't understand what he was on about. I said, there's nothing wrong with my eyes.
No.
He said, you better go and get an eye test. So I went down to the high street.
Yes.
Only yesterday, my eyes looked at me.
You okay there, Alpha? I think you maybe made it to
I sat down there, I did.
Yes.
And I said, I'm ready to take the test now.
Yes.
Where's the chart then?
Yes.
They said, I'm sorry, sir. You're in the bank. Oh, I was in the wrong place. I thought it was the opticians.
I think your eyes may need sorting, Albert. I think you better get a proper test.
It was different back in the old days,
yes,
son.
Yes, you're right.
Not like today.
No.
There's too much noise and excitement. And all these people, they got all these tablet things and phones. I don't understand what any of that is.
No.
And they got these calculators. We didn't need a calculator back in the old days. We used our minds. We used our minds.
I see your minds. Use your minds.
I remember when I was at school.
Yes.
We didn't have a calculator.
No.
I just used to count with me fingers. The only trouble is, once it got above 10, I couldn't work anything out. It was different back in the old days, son.
I think it was, by the sound of it. Not for the best, either, by the sound of it.
I remember when I was a lad.
Yes.
Going down the South End, going down to the pier.
Yep.
With some of me friends there.
Oh.
We used to go down the South Sea.
Yeah.
That was great, that was.
Oh,
the trouble is, back in them days, we didn't have no car.
No.
We used to have to walk. It took us 3 weeks to get there, 3 weeks to get back.
3 weeks to get there and back.
People today, they don't know they was born.
No, they don't.
It was so different back in them days. You had to walk everywhere.
Well,
it was different back in them days.
Oh, he sounds
people
terrible.
Today, they don't know what it's like.
No, you
but I like to just push my wheelbarrow along the streets there, contemplating life. I do. I don't have nothing in the wheelbarrow.
I see nothing in the wheelbarrow.
Anyway, I've got to leave now.
Okay, then.
But I'll speak to you soon.
We'll catch up.
I'll see to you now. Cheery Pip.
Cheery Pip.
Cheery Pip.
Cheery Pip. There he goes. Mind the step, Albert. When you go,
Jeff Carter on the radio.